Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Are you concerned about how your kids play and fight with each other? Do you struggle trying to get them to work things out? Well, I'll address these questions and more today in episode number 38, titled Sibling Relationships Matter. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family that you work for every single day. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, and that would be all of us, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. And let's all remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, today we're answering a question from Allison of Austin, Texas. And Allison writes, I have a 9 and 12-year-old. They fight constantly, saying mean things to each other, poking each other when I turn my back. I always tell them they need to figure it out on their own. I can't play referee, but it doesn't seem to help. What is your advice? Excellent question, Allison, and thanks for sending it in. Well, sibling relationships are extremely important relationships for many reasons. Think about it. Think about the amount of time that kids actually spend together compared to the amount of time they spend with anybody else, including their parents. It's really the place that they learn how to connect, how to support, how to be flexible, how to fight, how to compete, how to share. It's where they learn it's their first set of lessons in social skills and emotional management skills. Kids will share their childhoods and their childhood experiences for their entire lives. They laugh at family idiosyncrasies. For instance, let's say dad gives his be on time lecture for the 889th time, and the kids just roll their eyes and giggle. Or when mom loses her keys, and they know mom always loses her keys, and then it becomes the story at Thanksgiving about mom losing her keys. You know, in our family, our kids would roar with laughter when mom would warn them about the dangers of using the big knife, which of course was the big kitchen knife. And when they were little, she would warn them about using the knives if they're going to safely. And then she kept saying it well into the years that they knew how to use a knife. And now it's a family joke. Watch out for the big knife. They would also crack up when I would slap my butt, making sure that my wallet is in the right place. It's a little idiosyncrasy of mine. I don't know where else my wallet would be, but that's what I do. They still roar with laughter, and it's a great family piece of history and idiosyncrasy, and it's great fun, and it bonds people together. Well, sibling relationships have a ton of potential, and on the other side, they also run a high risk on the downside. Let me share. I've had lots of clients that were saved in their childhoods, literally saved by their siblings, who an older sibling really was the only person that really looked after a younger sibling and took care of them. I see adults who are close to this day and are the primary support systems in each other's lives. And then on the other side, I see clients who were brutalized or painfully ignored by their siblings, and that left them with deep scars and a disorganized and a painful sense of who they are in the world and what they deserve. So the upside is fabulous. The downside is profound, and profound in a very negative way. Let's think about all the things that siblings need to take into account. kids have different temperaments. Some are going to be kind of competitive and aggressive, while others are going to be more on the easygoing side. Some are going to be sensitive and shy. Some will be intensely sensitive and easily set off. Kids are going to have to learn about how to manage their own temperaments and understand to make room for each other's temperaments. I'm not sure, Allison, where your kids fit with this, but they're going to need to learn to respect who the other person is and what is okay for them and what's not okay for them. When does playing or fooling around actually become hurting and undermining their sense of self? There's stage of life differences. Allison, you've got a 9-year-old, which is a nice age child, and then you have a kid who's a preteen. And so they're going to have different interests, and that's going to get bigger as your preteen moves into their teen years. So we're going to have to take into account and respect that at different ages, we want and think about and engage different things, and we still have to have understanding and respect for each other. Gender differences. It's where we can learn that the other gender is important to us, and we can develop friendship, and we can develop our ability to get our needs met and set boundaries and respect each other's boundaries and have fun and laugh with members of the opposite sex. It's very important that kids learn this in their families if they have the opportunity for that. So these are all challenges, but they're also opportunities for learning and growing. So Allison, let's look at your situation. First of all, how frustrated are you with this constant problem? You're writing to me about it, so you're not happy about it. How do you want your kids to act? What you're doing, which is telling them they need to work it out, clearly isn't working. So you're going to have to get clear with exactly how you do want them to manage themselves. How do you want them to talk to each other? What are your standards and what are your expectations? In other words, is name calling okay with you? Well, in many families, it's not okay. Is this a case of the younger sibling wanting attention and bugging his older sibling to get that attention? Is it a case of both kids being highly competitive? I don't know, but and we don't want to micromanage our children's relationship, but it is our job to establish the parameters for them to be able to be together. For instance, let me just go way out here. For instance, Allison, you wouldn't want them to play and fight with knives, right? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. You would never allow that in a million years. Well, what about hitting each other with sticks? Is that okay? No, that wouldn't be okay. Well, what about punching? Is that okay? What about name calling? Is that okay? So my point here is it's important to get clear about what the standards and expectations for engagement are. Now, if you're not clear for yourself, you can use the resource of the elementary school that your kids go to or the middle school, because they'll have behavioral standards and values that are probably written on the wall and taught in the classroom. And they teach the kids how to use these, use the skills and behave in certain ways. And you can just borrow from that. And that way, you'll be dovetailing the message, the words, the values, the behaviors that you expect at home will dovetail nicely with the expectations and the behavioral standards at school. And that way, they'll have an opportunity to really learn in a consistent way. Right now, Allison, I'd worry that your kids are acting too immaturely, and they aren't learning important relationship skills that are necessary for their social emotional development. I'm concerned about the impact of the constant fighting on their self-esteem. And then, Allison, there's the issue of you and your needs and boundaries. If the kids are stressing you out with their behavior and you tell them you've got to stop, work this out, and they don't, well, are there other areas of their lives where they simply aren't cooperating, that you're setting a limit, you're telling them what you want them to do, and they're not doing it? So let's use the current situation of their constant fighting to shifting you from a parent who's frustrated and most likely suffering from a certain degree of burnout to an empowered parent. And the nice thing about being an empowered parent is they raise empowered kids. So here goes. Let's start with what you want from both kids and what you expect from each of them individually. What are the behaviors that you want to see? What are the improvements that you're going to require? Prepare to have an important culture-changing talk with them. In the talk, ask about how the name-calling and the mean behavior makes them feel and see if you can get them to get real about their feelings. Now, they might be so used to fooling around and not saying the truth about their feelings, and they might slough it off. And they might say, oh, we like it, we're just having a fun time. Remind them that they are both important people and they deserve to be treated with kindness and respect. I pretty much guarantee you that deep down they're not happy with it. And if they enjoy competing, that's okay, but you're going to expect them to find some healthy ways to compete in and be reasonable with each other. Now, take responsibility, Allison, for not being clear about your expectations or not having high enough expectations and standards for them. That let them know that they're capable of much better than what they've been exhibiting, and let them know that you consider what's going on pretty immature and you want to see them more mature, much better side of them. Now let them know that the privileges they've been receiving, which for many families and kids is going to be screen time, among other things, let them know that that's going away. That you need to see the healthy behaviors you've outlined for them before their privileges are earned. But they will only get them when they are legitimately earned and they are committed to the new standards and the new behaviors. All right, there's the talk. That's all good. Now, how do I manage the problem of who started it? Because you said right at the outset, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be the referee. I don't want to get into whose fault is it, and now the question rises, if I'm giving you this advice, well, what about privileges? Does one get the privileges and not the other? Who started it? What am I going to do here? Well, here are some rules of thumb that you can use. They are each responsible for their own behavior. They are both responsible for their participation in the relationship. So talk with them about healthy ways to respond if one of them provokes the other. That way, if one of them is breaking a rule by provoking inappropriately, they're responsible for that. And the responder is responsible for, of course, their response. If one hits, they broke a rule. If one hits and the other hits back, then they both broke rules. And they both lose privileges. The 12-year-old needs to take the role of leader and act like an older sibling should, and the younger sibling needs to find healthy ways to get the attention they want from the older one and also to respect their boundaries because they're not always going to be available to give attention. Once the kids know that you're serious, Allison, and when you set some standards, they will honor them because they'll trust that you're acting in their best interest. And they'll respect that you mean what you say, and they'll feel good that the privileges that they get are the privileges they've earned. So just to be clear, sibling relationships matter, and we want to teach our kids to respect themselves and each other. They're going to be siblings their entire lives, so it's very important. To accomplish that, we're going to need to be clear about our values, our standards, and our expectations. And just like anything else, privileges are earned with healthy behavior. So you'll want to make sure that you're not using privileges as consequences, so they get them automatically, and then you take them away to get them to change their behavior. That's a good way to get into a control battle. What you want to do is let them earn them, make sure they're serious, they're working for it. Then when they screw up, you point it out, they adjust their behavior, and things go on just fine. If they continually don't listen and they continually don't meet the standards, then the privileges go away until there's a major shift. So, parents, are you frustrated and burning out trying to get your kids to manage their behavior? Ask yourself, am I repeating myself and getting nowheres? That's a recipe for parental burnout. Decide today to be an empowered parent raising empowered kids. Believe in your kids and know they can do better. Let them know it. Stay positive in your tone and let them earn their privileges. That way, they'll feel good about their behavior and will respect the privileges they've earned. And now you're raising empowered kids. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone. And special thanks to you, Allison, for raising this most important topic. And please do feel free to come on over to my website at neildbrown.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter, where there is plenty of helpful stuff there right now and plenty more in the pipeline. I'd love to have a chance to answer your question, and you could submit that at neildbrown.com as well. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenteen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.